grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Does baptism really matter? That is a question perhaps people have asked, perhaps you've heard, perhaps you have asked. Does it really matter if someone is baptized? Can you be saved if you're not baptized? Christians often debate lots of questions surrounding baptism. What is it? When should it be done? Why should it be done? Who should do it? And when it is done, what's actually happening and what's going on? Does baptism really matter? This morning, I hope to have just a simple, frank, biblical, caring conversation about baptism, namely, that baptism for the Christian is simply living out their life daily in the baptismal grace that has been given to them. So to start, I think we do have to make the obvious recognition that the Bible certainly says baptism matters. Baptism is not just plain water, water that we see here, it's not just plain water, but it is water that is combined with the Word of God in His command. God's command, Christ's command specifically, where in baptism, where that water is placed upon whoever is being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there you are being washed. Washed clean of sin, you are being given the sign and the seal of Christ, the crucified, and you will have the very name of God put upon you. Of course, we didn't just make this up. Jesus gives us this command. The resurrected Jesus, speaking to his disciples, speaking to the church, a command that he gives to all then, Matthew 28, probably a familiar one, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, we are to go out into the world and baptize all nations, which includes infants and adults alike. All nations is all nations. To baptize with water and the Word, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, simple as that. And once we've washed them in that triune name, we aren't just then to leave them, but now it says to teach everything I have commanded. Everything. Not just the nice things, not just the easy things, but everything. That means teaching them what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. It means teaching them all of God's counsel, meaning the commandments of God, the severity of breaking those commandments, God's law and all God's wrath that would come upon us for breaking it and being sinners. But it also includes then teaching the sweetness, the good news of the gospel. The gospel good news, that in a bad news world, we have hope and life through Jesus Christ. So does baptism matter? Well, Jesus is unequivocal. Yes, it matters. It's a plain teaching of Jesus. Where there are Christians, there is to be baptism. Jesus says it. Today we mark Jesus himself being baptized. It's the church year's milestone, a very important part in the life of Jesus himself being baptized. Luke's gospel, we heard it read, just a short synopsis, a summary of when Jesus is baptized. Baptized by John the Baptist. When it happened, the Holy Spirit descends on him in form, bodily form, like a dove. And then you hear the Father's voice, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Powerful words spoke to Jesus. But these words are also spoken to everyone who receives baptism. Those words the Heavenly Father speaks to you. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Because as we'll find, in baptism you are united to Jesus. But we mark this time in the life of Christ not simply to recognize Jesus was baptized, but to recognize the significance of what happened when he was baptized. Now, in Matthew's gospel, we find out that John the Baptist didn't feel quite right. I don't know if I should baptize Jesus, because he recognized he's the Holy One of God. And he says, I need to be baptized by you, not me baptizing you. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie your sandals. But Jesus says what? Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus tells John it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. See, John the Baptist's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Jesus didn't need to repent. He had no sin in him, but yet he still needed to be baptized. Why? So that he would place himself alongside of all other humanity, you and I, and he would fall under the law of God and likewise then come under the condemnation of the law as he would and be punished for our sins, even though he was without sin. So it was necessary in order for Jesus to save us, to bring redemption to all mankind. It signified the beginning of his ministry, that he had come as that Savior. So does baptism matter? Well, Jesus leaves no uncertainty about it. As Jesus began his ministry, he traveled about the region. One particular case, he went to Jerusalem, and he had a very important conversation that we need to be mindful of. One with Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He comes to him at night. Nicodemus, perhaps worried if other people would see him, goes to Jesus at night and has this important conversation. You maybe remember what he says. John chapter 3, verse 3, starting there. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I think Nicodemus stands in here for all of us when he asks that question, what does it mean to be born again? Well, it's good for us. Jesus isn't cryptic here. There's no secret answers. He simply says to be born again is to be washed with water and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word to wash with water is simply the word baptizo, where we get, obviously, then baptism, where we baptize with water and the Word of God. There Jesus says we receive the Holy Spirit. So yes, baptism matters. We see the importance of it, what Jesus has to say about it. But even with all of this, there's still that inevitable question, right? You know the question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? That's what we want to know. Again, maybe you've heard that, or maybe you've asked that. But here's my first response, usually to questions like that, is why do you want to know? Right? Getting after the question behind the question. Why do you want to know that? Because I think the question that most people really want to know is, are there exceptions to the rule? Can someone who's not baptized enter the kingdom of heaven? That's really the question you want to know, right? So if that's the case, we need to be honest then about what exceptions you're thinking about. Human nature is always looking for a way to try and think of exceptions to the rule. So in this case, what are they? Perhaps it's a stillborn baby. Maybe it's a miscarriage. Maybe it's an aborted baby. Maybe it's a new Christian who dies for some reason not having been baptized. Or maybe it's a friend or a relative from a different Christian tradition that doesn't baptize till later in life because they believe baptism is a personal intellectual decision and just a symbolic exercise of faith, rather than actually being the free gift of God's faith and an actual washing away of sin and giving of the Holy Spirit. All those what ifs, are these exceptions? What about these? So when we think about these things, when we consider them, we need to remember two things. First, simply what did Jesus say? The words of Jesus make it very easy and very clear for us. Mark 16:16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Simply put, so why question it? Why not just baptize? Jesus says it right there. So why question it? But the second thing is this, and please hear me very carefully. God's grace is surpassingly rich and amazingly ample. He can certainly do as he wishes with his love and grace. We are bound to his word, but he can use his love and grace as he sees fit. Consider this as an example. A year and a half ago, I had the excruciating and heart-wrenching task of going to Ridgeview Hospital in Waconia to comfort the broken and shattered hearts of Rachel and Jesse Sherber, who, when I arrived shortly after there, put into my arms the stillborn baby girl that Rachel had just delivered. Finley Lou, they had named her. Now, some of you may know this wonderful young couple. Beck and I got to know them very well before they had children, marriage Bible study, a small group. And they, at this time, had moved to Waconia, were transferring to Trinity, but when this terrible tragedy happened, one day, the heart of their 37-week-old unborn baby was beating. The next day, it was not. The umbilical cord had somehow got wrapped around this precious baby girl's neck. It tightened, she strangled, and she died in the womb. Rachel had to deliver this baby, knowing that the baby had already died. It was utterly devastating. Like any Christian parents, they loved this baby before she was born. They were praying for this baby before she was born. And they wanted to know, was their baby in heaven? And so what do you say in situations like this? Should we baptize the baby even though the baby had already died? Can we speak where God doesn't speak? What do we do? Is this one of those exceptions? What do we say? Well, I can simply tell you what I told them. God knows the utter heartache of what it is to lose a child to death. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the earth to die and to rise for your precious baby girl, to pay for your sins, her sins, and the sins of every last man, woman, and child on the face of this planet, including your baby, beloved Finley Lou. We are bound to God's word, but he is free to lavish his word, his amazing grace, upon your baby girl, just as Jesus did when he was on this earth and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." See, I did not baptize baby Finley. She had already left this world. But I certainly did hold her broken body in my arms and bless her remains in the name of the triune God. And I certainly did grab a hold of Rachel and grab a hold of Jesse and pray for them, bless them in the midst of their brokenness and sorrow, fully trusting, completely trusting that Jesus Christ had died for their baby, rose for her, and in his great mercy brought this precious little baby to the strong arms of the Heavenly Father. God's grace is surpassingly rich, and he can do as he wishes with his love and grace. So are there exceptions? Sure, there'll be exceptions, but they don't become the rule. They're not the norm. Rather, exceptions simply point us to the tremendous love and mercy that comes in Jesus Christ. They point us to the truth of God's word that leads us forward in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of heartache. They remind us of God's amazing love. So it doesn't invalidate baptism. Baptism certainly still matters. And it matters not just for eternal life. Baptism certainly matters for your day-to-day life, here and now. It's something that keeps us mindful of how we live our lives. Not just simply when I'm baptized, I think, okay, good, I got my ticket to heaven. That's it. That's all that doesn't matter. It's one thing to approach baptism like that. It's another thing to recognize when you go through that sacred, holy act of baptism, you recognize that it not only has an eternal consequence for you, but it has a temporal, here and now consequence for the way that you live your life, your actions and your behaviors. Paul tells us this, as we heard in that epistle reading. The implications are for both temporally, here and now, and eternally. Listen again. Paul says, "Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means," he says. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. See, putting it simply, that sacred, holy act of baptism unites you to Jesus. No matter how old you are, infant or adult, when you are baptized, you are united to Jesus. Baptism gives you Jesus. It unites you to his life, to his death, and to his resurrection. It brings you into the life of Jesus. And that means that the perfect life that he lived is now at work, here and now, in your life. It's at work in you, in your daily life. The way that you live your daily life means that each day that you sin, you bring those sins and you drown them in baptism, put them to death, the death of Jesus Christ. You confess those sins and you bury them in that tomb with all the sins that Jesus paid for on the cross, the blood that he bled and paid for. You put those sins on the cross and then put them in the tomb and bury them. You have a spiritual death and a spiritual rising because you are united with Jesus. And when you are united with Jesus' life, that means you go forward in life walking in the works that he has prepared for you to do. His works, the virtues that he did, the good works that he did, are the works that you walk in your life. That's what it is to live in baptism day in and day out. It unites you to the life of Jesus. And in case you forgot, the life of Jesus was all about love, compassion, kindness, and mercy. So in baptism, you drown your sins, your lies, your gossip, your slander, your envy, your jealousy. Those sins are drowned, all of them. And then you are raised with Christ to walk in his good works of love, compassion, mercy, and kindness. So does baptism matter? Absolutely, for daily life and eternal life. The Christian life is simply the daily dying and rising with Jesus, day after day. Yes, baptism matters. And to be clear, we really need to be clear on this. Baptism is more than just my ticket to heaven. It's more than just saying, I was baptized, I don't need church, I can go party hardy, do whatever I want, because I'm baptized. But Paul shoots down that lie, that straight from hell, in the reading from Romans 6. Are we to continue in sin so that we can get more grace, he says? It's the thought that, well, God is full of grace, so I'm just going to keep on sinning because then I'll get more grace. Paul says, by no means, what are you doing? How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So let me be clear, baptism is certainly 100% a gift of God's grace to us, which certainly includes the promise of salvation and heaven. But living in your baptism means putting to death all of your sin in all of its ugly forms. All the sinful habits, all the secret addictions, all the disordered passions, putting them to death every day through baptismal repentance. You see, just because you are baptized doesn't mean that all of a sudden you cease to be a sinner. Paul makes this clear himself. In the very next chapter, Romans chapter 7, one verse actually can sum it up, the reality that just because you're baptized doesn't mean you cease to be a sinner. When he says, verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep on doing." Likely you, along with me, have struggled with that before, right? But it's because you are a sinner that you need baptism. And why you need to return to that baptism day in and day out. In fact, this sacrament is so full of grace, so full of God's power, that it moved the Apostle Peter to say it very simply, baptism now saves you. Why? Because it unites you to Jesus. It gives you Jesus. does baptism matter? It's pretty clear. Absolutely. It matters for your daily life and your eternal life. And not only do you go through a daily spiritual dying and rising, but you will one day go through a physical death and physical rising. Because just as Jesus did, and if you're united to him, he went into death, so will you. And as our prayers of the church remind us week after week, and as you'll hear again, as Elmer Barlow passed away, sometimes that comes sooner for others than it does for us. But if we are united with Jesus in death, that also means we are united with him in his resurrection. So that you and anyone who has died believing and having been baptized will be raised from the dead, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. So there is great confidence to take, knowing that baptism does matter. You can take confidence in it. It gives the forgiveness of sins. It gives the promise of salvation, of eternal life in heaven, and it unites you to Jesus. And there is no better place to be than with Jesus. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds and keep them strong in that faith given to you in baptism, to life everlasting. Amen.